If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Of course, get us on the free Odyssey app. Watch us live on YouTube. If you thought the first hour and a half was compelling when we were talking about the panic mode of Democrats, we've got some updates for you, some breaking news that's coming down, some reports that are out there that are actually taking it further than I ever thought was possible from Democrats. I've got two reports here. This one is according to Reuters, as President Biden is now facing so much increased pressure that at least 25 House Democrats are preparing to call for the 81-year-old president to end his reelection bid in the wake of last Thursday's debacle on the debate stage. And then this came out yesterday, and I sent you guys this yesterday in our group text, courtesy of Axios. The headline, House Democrat predicts Trump will win 2024 election, and he's okay with it. Let you hear this. Rep. Jared Goldman, a Democrat from Maine on Tuesday, predicted former President Trump will win the election in November and, quote, is okay with that. He says the following, and this is not a spoof or a parody bit, quote, "It also didn't rattle me as it has others, because the outcome of this election has been clear to me for months. While I don't plan to vote for him, Donald Trump is going to win, and I'm okay with that." Golden argues that his colleagues' hand-wringing after the debate is out of a belief that Trump is a, quote, "unique threat to our democracy," but, quote, "I refuse to participate in a campaign to scare voters with the idea that Trump will end our democratic system. We should, quote, reflect on the history and strength of our great democracy, safe in the knowledge that no one man is strong enough to take it away from us." So do we want to start taking bets on when he mysteriously dies and is found in a dumpster in an alleyway? That's a Democrat saying that.
Yeah, because he's a Democrat who's probably up for re-election. I mean, that's what kills me. All these, 25 House members, this guy's a moderate Democrat who wants to remain relevant in Maine. What amazes me is now we hear from them.
Right? Yes.
Now we hear from them. We didn't hear from any of these Democrats, and that's what we have to remember. We didn't hear from any of these Democrats who were upset because of all the crime, all the violence, all the issues with the southern border, and all of the rape and abductions, and it continues, quite frankly.
Yeah.
And by the way, we still don't even know the fallout from that, because if you look at, I was looking at crime, stats from, and all the blotters, from Chester County, Delco. Look at all the defendants. The problem is they're not, because we are all sanctuary in our area. Mm-hmm. So because we're all sanctuary, they can't even tell us, or they don't even mark down whether the person's a U.S. citizen or not. But all these different Democrats, they're being Democrats. All they care about is, as far as these particular individuals, all they care about is their partisan career politician job. That's what they're just showing their hand.
Sean, what do you read into this? Anything?
Well, I think it's very unique and very interesting that we're seeing Democrats now. You're saying 25, that's the report today. Now 25 House Democrats.
Yep.
And Dawn, I think, is right about this. I think there's a certain amount of you know, political strategy going on here, right? Where you are going to see, again, some Democrats try to appear sane to their voters, right? I didn't back the guy with dementia. I said he should step aside. But it's very, very rare when you see Democrats this divided. All we heard in the Republican primary during the Trump, DeSantis, Vivek thing, it's so much infighting. It's infighting. It's infighting. And I'm like, no, it's a primary. There were some things in the primary that maybe didn't have to be said or had to be done, but that happens every time there's a primary cycle. Folks, the Democrat primary is over. There's no reason in a sane, you know, regular scenario where there would have to be this much of a debate on who the nominee is going to be. That process has already played itself out. So the fact that you're now seeing members of the party dividing and basically declaring war against Joe Biden is something we never see from the Democrats. I mean,
and they're already divided on the
Trumpers.
They're already divided on the Middle East as well. So they're divided on two or three major sticking points and issues. And to Dawn's credit, and she's right every time, but now you have to wonder if they can get it together. Do we expect Democrats to figure it out and unite and rally before November 5th? If there's ever a time where it might not happen, this feels like this cycle, this time around, might be the time where it's just too much. I mean, when have you ever heard a Democrat say Trump's not a threat to democracy? That's been like the talking point for years. So they don't agree on Israel and Palestine. They don't agree on should Joe stay or should Joe go. And now you have a Democrat coming out and saying, oh my God, our democracy's fine. Because yes, it is fine. We lived through Trump the first time. They act like we didn't have this guy in office for 4 years. You already know. So, I mean, they're coming undone at the seams right now.
Yeah, but this guy, Jared Golden, here's the thing. The truth and being up for re-election and facing a loss because he's in a Republican area, he's going to lose. And so that it's like the Wonder Woman golden lasso is around the Democrats in these who are up for re-election. That's what this is.
Lebo says on Twitter, that congressman from Maine will be found in a lobster trap.
At some point. Oh, seriously. And this is the crazy part. So you're seeing a smaller number, but it's starting to grow. But it's still the minority of the amount of House Dems. It's not a majority of them yet that are calling for Joe Biden to step aside. And so, you know, let's say he does step aside. Well, now you have the support of those 25, but now the rest of them are upset. So you're shedding voters no matter what. It's like if you go ahead and or you're shedding supporters, it's like if you go ahead and start appeasing the pro-Palestine wing of the party. Well, now the moderate centrist, not centrist, but, you know, closer to the center wing of the Democrat Party is not going to be happy with the fact that you are not supporting Israel and are supporting terrorists. Right. A lot of other people are going to be upset, too. But you're appeasing the loud, woke, radical left fringe part of your party. Right. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the division here, and like you said, they're divided on a number of topics. They are. Even to some extent, there are Democrats that are starting to divide on the border because it's an issue. It's an issue that you can't ignore anymore. It's not just the border states of New Mexico and Arizona and Texas, you know, and California. It's any state. Wisconsin is having problems. Minnesota is having problems. Those are on the northern border. They're not having issues with people from Canada. I mean, not as much as we're dealing with down in coming across the southern border from Mexico and the Latin American countries. So you're seeing the divide on all of the issues really start to take place on a number of fronts. And the fact that you have a Democrat saying, yeah, I'm okay if Trump wins. He's playing with fire. I mean, you know, the only thing that's probably more dangerous to say is that he has compromising material on Hillary Clinton. At that point, you can guarantee that he will be found in a lobster trap off the coast of Maine somewhere.
There you go.
The National Republican Congressional Committee spokesperson Jack Pandel released a statement about Golden. And he put a photo up of Golden, who you're talking about, is up for re-election. Mm-hmm. Picture of Golden flying on Air Force One with Biden. And he wrote, quote, Donald Trump is going to win, but Jared Golden is not. Backpedaling and freaked out political posturing is not going to change that.
Ooh.
Unquote.
Okay.
Wow.
This segment brought to you by United Tire. If you drive a car and you want it to last and not cost you a ton in the long run, get to United Tire today for a service. Visit one of their 10 locations throughout the Delaware Valley. Visit United Tire NFL.com. Let's get to this clip, boys. This is Cut 51. Carl Bernstein, who is it Bernstein or Bernstein? I never know how to pronounce that. Steen. Okay. So he is one half of the Washington Post that had the whole Watergate stuff with Richard Nixon back in the day. Where do you hear what his sources are telling him? And I believe what he's saying here on CNN. This is in regards to just how bad it's been for Joe Biden behind the scenes. And he also gets into the frequency of these occurrences. Clip 51.
These are people, several of them, who are very close to President Biden, who love him, have supported him, have been among them, or some people who have raised a lot of money for him. And they are adamant that what we saw the other night, the Joe Biden we saw, is not a one-off, that there have been 15, 20 occasions in the last year and a half when the president has appeared somewhat as he did in that horror show that we witnessed. And what's so significant is the people that this is coming from, and also how many people around the president are aware of such incidents, including some reporters, incidentally, who have witnessed some of them. But here we see tonight, as these people say, President Biden at his absolute best, and yet these people who have supported him, loved him, campaigned for him, see him often, say that in the last 6 months particularly, there has been a marked incidence of cognitive decline and physical infirmity.
Wow, how about that? I mean, this is all the stuff that we've been talking about, we've been saying, we've been seeing and experiencing, and now it's just the floodgates have opened. And just to kind of wheel back to what we were talking about around 6:40 this morning with Kamala Harris, according to the betting markets now, the William Hill outlet, the William Hill betting company, has Kamala Harris as the favorite to supplant Joe Biden as the Dems nominee. So we've been talking about this. We've been looking at all the different polls and hypothetical matchups, how Trump does against Gavin Newsom, Joe Biden, Gretchen Whitmer, Kamala Harris. He's got leads over all of them in a hypothetical matchup. I think I saw he was down 11 points, you know, to Michelle Obama, which we know will not happen, barring some weird, bizarre plot twist down the stretch here. But according to the betting market, Kamala Harris now the favorite, which I say, look, if you're going to replace Joe, serve up Kamala. I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. I am absolutely fine with that. I don't fear that one bit at all.
We should say
no,
right? We should say it's disrespectful to Vice President Kamala Harris. It's disrespectful that she would not be promoted, of course, and it would appear that it's because she's a woman and she's a black woman. That's what we should say.
Yep. I agree.
Boom.
And it's also disrespectful to the voters, right? You know, you talk about threats to democracy. They chose. Your voters chose Kamala Harris. Don't subvert the will of your voters. You almost put Donald Trump in jail for accusing him, you know, and you're accusing him of disenfranchising 78 million or however many they say Joe Biden got. You're accusing Donald Trump of disenfranchising voters by subverting their will. Mm-hmm. Don't do that to your own voters and don't do that to Kamala Harris, because we're going to draw the conclusion, as Dawn said, that's the two pronged approach. Don't subvert the will of your voters. And if you do and you replace Kamala Harris, we're going to play the race card. We're going to play the woman card and we're going to make it look like you're the ones that aren't being diverse. You know, I don't think there's any way that they can replace Biden and get through Kamala Harris short of her being forced somehow, maybe behind the scenes, to, you know, step aside and give it to somebody else and give her blessing. But I don't think she'd do that. She's too power hungry.
All right, let's wrap up, and we're going to get to this last clip. I thought this was great, and I don't understand anybody that actually believes that any of the Biden policies are super popular. You know, it's amazing is with his campaign, it's never really about the policy. It's always about the other guy, the threats, and the fear-mongering. And my buddy, I love this guy. If I ever get a chance to host a Pints in Politics, I want my guest to be Senator Kennedy from Louisiana, because he cracks me up. Here's what he had to say on the decline of Joe Biden. Cut number 52, boys.
The third point I would make, Martha, remember, the Supreme Court sees what we see. President Biden is losing this election. President Biden has neurodegenerative disease. He practically invents a new language every time he speaks. His family has serious legal problems. His staff, which is running the country, is more concerned about gas stoves and whether a man can breastfeed than it is about inflation or crime or the border or national security. And that's why the president's losing. This case was political from the get-go. It was designed to help President Biden. And I think the United States Supreme Court today said, look, we don't get involved in politics. We don't want to get mixed up in this. That's why it was such, in my opinion, an anodyne, predictable decision.
Could listen to that man talk for hours. What a
poet. He's funny.
He's the best.
One of my favorite things he just said on Fox, I think it was a week or so, a couple weeks ago, he said, President Biden's polling lower than fungal infections. I think that's one of the... I was like, what? When the gas was going through the roof, right? They called it Putin's spice hike. They say Putin. He said, at this point, it would be cheaper to do cocaine and run everywhere. On TV.
Polling
I said,
lower.
Holy cow. This guy's funny. I like him. He's a little too eager to send money to Ukraine. That's the only complaint I have about John Kennedy.
Agreed.
But look, nobody's perfect. 80-20 rule.
Yeah.
You know. So I don't like that. Maybe he'll come around. But he's a hoot, as they say in the South. Every time he's on TV, I love it.
I love when he's questioning people under oath too, and he takes the glasses off and he looks down at his notes, and he's got all the tweets of people he's grilling for their past posts, and he's like, "Did you tweet back on December?" And he goes, "Oh, it's just so great."
There was an exchange once between him and Bernie Sanders. It's on YouTube, and he was quoting somebody, or he called Bernie Sanders an ignorant. It's a word that rhymes with mutt to describe a woman of ill repute, right? So he goes, for the record, I did not call Senator Sanders. And he says that thing. And then Bernie jumps in afterwards and goes, I don't know how to take that, son of a Kennedy. These are the people running our country.
Yep.
Like, holy cow, it is a clown show.
It's professional
wrestling. When Rand Paul blew the whistle, basically in one of his Festivus reports one year, and he said that we spent like millions of dollars in Argentina, opening up what's called, they said, the clown training or like a circus school.
Yep.
Like, dude, just give them free access to C-SPAN. Let them watch Congress. They don't need any more training. It's a clown show in and of itself in Washington, D.C.
Indeed.
But I do love Kennedy.
All right. Coming up on the other side, we'll get to our morning mystery movie clip. And then it's time for our 1210 WPHT Veteran Spotlight presented by Window Nation. Colonel Tom Mannion of the Travis Mannion Foundation is our guest at 9:30 this morning. Back after this.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Colonel Tom Mannion coming up in just a few moments, as I believe he will be calling in with us. You know what? In the meantime, until we get to Colonel Mannion, why don't we do some of the cuts? Because we've still got 45,000 clips here in front of me. And this is the time that we usually do the cut sheet part due anyway. So let's get to it and find out, Henry, what's on the cut sheet part due?
What's on the cut sheet?
Part due.
Yeah, part due, and Tom Mannion is coming up in a matter of moments, so we will pivot out of the cuts and get to him as soon as he joins us. Boys, if we could play clip 26, because the meltdown has been glorious. And look, I get it. I am in no way saying that the election is over. There's still 123, 124 days. A lot of things can change. Polls can change, but just seeing the mainstream media have their meltdowns after the way they spoke to half of America for the last 4 years is glorious. And this is clip 26. Simone Sanders on MSNBC says that she's keeping a list of those like ignorant New York Times for calling on Joe Biden to quit. This is clip 26.
I think that rally in North Carolina hit that mark. And if that is the Joe Biden folks see going forward, I think that the panic will subside. But if I was the Biden people, I'd be keeping a list, honey, because it was way too many,
ready to jump. Just instantly running their mouths. It wasn't even, let's take a pause, yep, a beat, and figure out what's going on.
No, it's obvious, and we see what's going on here. And I would say this, too, when it comes to these publications, and, you know, she's keeping a list and taking inventory and keeping receipts. The New York Times said, you know, Trump should drop out. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution said that Biden should drop out as well. But how about this? And I know this is a few days old now, and we briefly mentioned it because it was so utterly ridiculous. How about the Philadelphia Inquirer in our own backyard after Joe Biden's disastrous stretch of days coming out and saying it should be Donald Trump that drops out of the election? And like, you wonder why the Philadelphia Inquirer is a shell of what they used to be. It's op-ed pieces and opinion pieces like that. Which, oh, by the way, too, Dawn, I don't believe there was ever any names attached to the op-ed. It was just like their staff collective.
Editorial board.
Yeah, their editorial board.
Well, Mika Brzezinski was very happy with them. She called, she was, remember when she was like the chastising all the other Dems, but she was praising the Inquirer for that editorial.
Typical. All right, I believe we have Colonel Tom Mannion with us as we now get to our 1210 WPHT Veteran Spotlight presented by Window Nation for all of your window and door needs. Visit windownation.com. Colonel Mannion, it is an absolute pleasure to speak with you again. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, great, Nick. Great to be with you this morning.
Great to be with
you
as well. We are doing excellent. Obviously, thank you so much for everything that you have done in service and obviously with the Travis Mannion Foundation. When we highlight these veterans each month, it's a pleasure, and we've done a few of them, and this one definitely hits home. So we're grateful for a couple of your minutes here on Wednesday morning.
Yeah, it's great to be with you here, for sure. And when it comes to talking about highlighting veterans, can't highlight our young veterans, our post 9/11 veterans more than anything. We need to keep recognizing what they're all about for our country. So
no question.
Great to be here.
Yes. Let me start with this one. Obviously, a major holiday coming up tomorrow. Personally, what does the 4th of July mean to you, Colonel Mannion?
Well, you know, having lost a son in defense of our freedoms, I mean, it means everything to me, Nick. When you think about our country today and where we've come from, and you think of, you know, we just got finished celebrating D-Day anniversary and all the momentous occasions, and you think about our Independence Day here, and you tie that all together with what's happening around the world, and you think about the young men and women that are stepping forward to serve our country and protect our freedoms. And then you tie that together with Ronald Reagan, you know, his famous quote of, you know, freedom is only a generation away. You know, us and our country, and I'm sitting in South Jersey and a beautiful day down here. And, you know, you just think about all that we have and how quickly we could lose it. In a way it's kind of overwhelming, but it's great to see everyone to come together and celebrate what we're all about, because I think as a country, we need to figure out a way to all come together. And maybe it's times like the 4th of July where we can figure out a way to do that. Better than we have been, right?
Yeah.
Better than we have been.
Well said. So I think 99% of our audience knows about Travis Mannion, the Travis Mannion Foundation, but our audience is always expanding and growing. So for the few out there that might not be aware of everything that the foundation does, that we do with Radiothon, tell my audience a little bit about Travis the man, and also what led to his path and of, you know, serving the country and going down the road he decided to go down career-wise.
Yeah, Travis, you know, we're a local family in the Philadelphia area, and Travis was very involved in athletics at LaSalle High School and had an opportunity from there to get into the Naval Academy as a wrestler for the Naval Academy. Did his 4 years there, and while he was there, 9/11 happened, and like he and all his classmates, they were inspired to go defend our freedoms, and he left shortly after his graduation for his first tour in Iraq. And on his second tour in Iraq on April 29th, 2007, we lost him. He was caught in an enemy ambush with he and his Marines, and he was credited with saving the entire patrol. He's the only one that didn't make it back. But, you know, we're super proud of him, and his mom set up a memorial, small memorial fund, and before we knew it, she had grown it to a level that we never expected. And part of that was, you know, Travis and who he was and what he represented for the country. And the momentum's been incredible for the foundation, where we started, where we are now across the country. And, you know, a lot of it is hinged on Travis and who he was as a person and his ethos of if not me, then who, before he was going back for a second tour. When he was asked why he had to go back by his brother-in-law, he said, hey, if I don't go, who's going to my place? If not me, then who? And those words just kind of resonate, and it resonates with the next generation. And we're working with veterans around the country. We're, most importantly, we talked about the 4th of July and what it means, and we talk about the next generation. And part of what we do is an organization is we get our veterans and our families of the fallen, and we get in front of these young people, and we talk to them about if not me, then who, and we talk to them about character, and we talk to them about what this country's all about and freedom. And, you know, it just sort of gels and keeps growing for us. So we're extremely excited and really thankful for our partnership with you guys. You guys have been tremendous for us and have helped us to do so much.
It's the 1210 WPHT Veteran Spotlight here on Kale and Company. We do this the first Wednesday of every month at 9:30. It's all brought to you by Window Nation. Tom Mannion, our guest this morning. So, Colonel Mannion, you co-wrote Brothers Forever. I have a copy of the book in my living room. It's a great book, and it's about the bond between Travis and his Naval Academy roommate, Brendan Looney. Can you tell us a little bit about the two and how the bond they shared was so special, and give us kind of a Cliff Note version of the book that you contributed with?
Sure. Yeah, sure, Nick. I got an opportunity to get over to Iraq. I was hearing a lot about what Travis had done in Iraq with his Marines, and I had a sense that we had to get out there and tell the stories. If we don't tell the stories, the next generation, you know, won't know what these heroes have done for us. So I went over there and spent some time with the Iraqis. And as I came back and prepared to write a story about Travis and his Marines, his great friend and roommate at the Naval Academy, Navy SEAL Brendan Looney, was killed in action in Afghanistan. And I came back, and we went down to the Looney's home, and we're there with their family, and just sort of the worst nightmare for them. And, you know, we knew 3 years prior, having gone through it with Travis, tried to be there to support him. And as I thought about my opportunity to write the story for the next generation, I realized it was the bigger story of all these guys and what they'd sacrificed. And so that was sort of the backdrop for me to tell the story of Travis and Brendan, because they had spent so much time at the Naval Academy together. Travis left to serve in the Marines and two tours in combat. Brendan was on his second tour in combat as a Navy SEAL. He had just on his 59th combat mission, if you can believe that, when we lost him. And just telling the story of these guys and their character and how they love this country and why they put on the uniform to defend it, and the symbolism of it, really. And, you know, as it all came out, it turns out that we had Travis buried up in Pennsylvania. Brendan was moved in from San Diego, and we had never gotten Travis settled in Pennsylvania, because there was some talk after we lost him that he really wanted to be in Arlington. We moved Brendan into Arlington, and when Brendan's wife was asked where she wanted Brendan, she said she wanted him in Arlington next to Travis. And so the Department of Army moved mountains to help us. And we reinterred Travis and we moved him down to Arlington, and we had a service for Travis down there a day before we moved Brendan in. So, you know, sort of symbolic of Arlington and what it means for our country and all the sacrifice. If you go down to Section 60, you'll see side by side Lieutenant Travis Mannion and Lieutenant Brendan Looney there in Arlington together. And, you know, it's just these guys are the best of the best. And so, you know, when you think about honoring our service members, there's so many that you guys could honor. And, you know, I appreciate all you do to get them on the air and listen to their stories. And that's part of what we're all about in the foundation is being there to support them and help them, and not only help them, but have them out in front of our next generation so they can help us. They have so much to offer. We're there as a, it's probably a support, mostly a support system to help them make an impact, further impact for our country.
Colonel Tom Mannion, thank you so much for everything you have done, for everything you continue to do, and have a great 4th of July. It's a pleasure to chat with you.
You too, Nick. Thanks a lot. Thanks again for all you're doing. Have a great 4th.
You too. Colonel Tom Mannion joining us here on the 1210 WPHT Veteran Spotlight, presented by Window Nation. What a unbelievable human being.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
This segment brought to you by Discover Lancaster. Adventure awaits in Lancaster County. Experience the thrill of kayaking and hiking. You can explore the scenic waterways and the rugged trails. Discover the beauty of nature. Visit discoverlancaster.com to plan your trip today. The Dawn Show coming up in just about 12 minutes, and we find out what Dawn has lined up for 10 o'clock.
I'll have an interview. Actually, Henry Machette, congratulations to Henry for getting an interview with the vice president.
Is that right?
Well, it's the Commonwealth Foundation senior vice president.
Oh, not the
Eric
vice Telford. President.
I was just, I had to tease you a little bit.
Not that Henry's.
How dare they?
I just had to tease you a little bit.
I'm unburdened by that, Dawn.
But, well, you know, so the Commonwealth Foundation, they do a lot of research, and I love looking into this, really zooming in. But as well, I want to look at, there are a lot of, obviously, breaking news. We're expecting a lot of breaking news today as we're hearing about governors meeting with Biden.
Yep.
And reportedly, our own Pennsylvania governor, New Jersey governor, Shapiro Murphy, in with that call. What's the scuttlebutt? So we'll go into that. But what about some of these other candidates that we never thought would be in play? And that's Pennsylvania, New Jersey. So I'll take you in, zoom in on some of the local races that everybody kind of assumed, nah, Democrats are going to win. Not so much. And some of the races that we haven't been talking about, I'll zoom in on that as well. And then spending this July 4th. So we'll weave in some fun too. Cause of course, and we'll weave in some patriotism July 4th tomorrow.
All right. Sounds good. 9:49. Let's find out what Ferrari Phil has lined up for today in music history.
What happened on this day in music history? Music history. Kale and Company.
Today, July 3rd, we celebrate the birthdays of Kevin Hearn from the Bare Naked Ladies, who's now 54. Vince Clarke from Erasure, who's now 64. Stephen Piercy from Rat, who's now 68. And a heavenly birthday shout-out to Laura Branigan. We also lost Brian Jones on this day in 1969 and Jim Morrison of the Doors in 1971. Singles include Forever Young by Rod Stewart in 1988. Albums include Waiting for the Sun by the Doors in 68. Lights, Camera, Revolution by Suicidal Tendencies in 1990. And White Blood Cells by the White Stripes in 2001. Also, in 1983, the Red Hot Chili Peppers took the stage with nothing on but socks, not on their feet. In 96, Alice in Chains played their last show with Layne Staley. And in 85, Back to the Future opened. But lastly, a quick thought about the 56 cuts I prepared for today's show, which has never happened before and will never happen again. Well, I thought I'd compare it to a major sport event, and no, not DiMaggio's 56-game hitting streak. But When Ford beat Ferrari at Le Mans in 66, I'd much rather have a Mustang than an overpriced Italian piece of metal. And yes, I will see you tomorrow, by the way. Me and Michael Pelka tomorrow at 6 a.m. For Kale & Company, I'm Phil Lomquist.
Phil Mike Lomquist. And I.
Mike, yes, there you go. Greg, what's this? Greg Stocker has some thoughts on the 56 cuts. Phil's basically saying he does the cut sheet prep better than Greg. Greg, what do you think about that?
Who cares? Nobody cares.
Oh, God. Sean Farris, any plans for the 4th tomorrow? Anything special going on down in Nashville for you?
We are probably going to lay low tomorrow. Just going to hang out, have a nice 4th. Definitely watching the Patriot. Definitely watching Independence Day. Got to do it every year. Mm-hmm. It's just two great movies that I love to watch on the 4th of July. Celebrate the birth of our country and get motivated to save it. You know, it is literally 4 months from tomorrow. I mean, it is November 5th, Election Day, but 4 months from tomorrow, we will be voting in the most consequential election of our time. And I encourage everybody to vote for themselves. Were you better off 4 years ago? If you were, there's only one choice, and it's not the Pampers president. It's the outlaw president. We love him, and we're very happy about him. He's a tremendous person, and he hasn't filled a diaper since he's been, I would say, probably 6 months old. You know, I was potty trained at 8 months. I was doing it very well. And everybody said he's so advanced, he's so special. And we were doing that, I can tell you that.
Dawn, any 4th of July plans for you?
Yeah, family, same thing. I mean, family, 4th of July, parades. Two sisters-in-law have birthdays right around this time, Kathleen and Marilyn. So happy birthday to both of them.
Okay.
And we'll be celebrating their birthdays as well as our nation's birthday. But
yep.
Patriotism, front and center.
I'm going to contribute to climate change. I'm going to fire up the grill. I'm going to put some hot dogs on there, and when they come off the grill, I'm going to slather them with
mustard.
And I'm going to have myself a 4th of July holiday, as Ron DeSantis would say, mustard. All right, everybody, have a great 4th. Been a great week. We are back next Monday. Tomorrow morning, Opelka will be in, and Sean, you'll be with us, with Dawn and I again all next week, I believe, correct?
All next week. Lucky you. Lucky everybody. Buckle up. It's going to be a fun week. I can't wait to get back and do this again with you guys on Monday.
All right. Until then, yes, we love you, buddy. Have a great 4th. Have a great 4th, everybody. Enjoy the holiday, the festivities, everything that goes with it. And we'll talk to you Monday morning at 6.
Start your day with Kale & Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.